I don't know if any of you have been watching the special on IPTV about country music, but it talked about 1949, a really famous country western singer, a country singer. His wife left him, took the children, and he expressed himself by sitting down and writing a song. Now, for those of you who may not know, a whippoorwill is a bird. But this is how the first verse goes. Do you hear that lonesome whippoorwill? He sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is whining low, and I'm so lonesome I could cry. Loneliness has been around a long time. In fact, according to the Bible, since the very beginning, God created man, created all the animals, and then said it's not good for man to be alone. It is not good for people to be alone, and the vast majority of us were made to be in relationships with other people. Even famous people get lonely. Elvis Presley wrote this in the last weeks before he died. I feel so alone. Elvis Presley, surrounded by adoring mobs of people, felt alone. Just about every generation has songs that talk about being lonely, because in every generation are people who are lonely. Now, being lonely is not the same as being alone. Warren Wiersbe, a Christian author, said this: loneliness is a feeling of isolation, even in the middle of a crowd. You feel unwanted, you feel unneeded, you feel as though there's nothing to live for. You feel as though nobody really cares anymore. That's loneliness. Loneliness eats away at the inner person. It drains you of your strength. It robs you of hope. Loneliness, as it were, puts a wall around you that no one can seem to penetrate. She was 13 years old, sitting in my office. It was kind of unusual for a 13-year-old to call the pastor and ask for a time to talk. But she came in and you could just tell she just was feeling so low, so badly. And she sat down and she talked about what was going on in her life. And what was going on was that in middle school, one of the most popular boys had asked her out and then had asked her to be his girlfriend. And she was so excited, and she just knew it was going to last forever. And so she said goodbye to all her friends. In fact, maybe said some mean things. And the relationship lasted for 5 months. And then the most popular boy decided that he didn't want to be with her anymore. And now at 13 years old, she felt like her life was over. She felt so alone. She didn't think it was worth going on. And she wanted to ask me if there was any hope. 13 years old. I was talking to a 34-year-old mother of four children. There was no dad around. There was no husband. And I'd been over there a number of times because she needed help. She'd never been taught how to cook. She had some freeze-dried food, and I said, well, why don't you just buy some potatoes? She said, what would I do with those? Nobody had ever showed her. So we got to know each other pretty well, and at one point she said, you know, Pastor, I am so lonely that I will do just about anything not to be alone. Not to be alone. My mom is 93. She's an introvert. If this business of shaking hands at the beginning of the service, she doesn't like that at all. You know, she'd just be happy if everybody just kind of left her alone at church. So that's how I usually introduce that, by saying, we're going to do something my mother hates. But my dad died a few years ago, and, you know, they were two introverts together. They had each other. But now she didn't have anybody. But a friend of hers said, now if somebody asks you to do something, you do it. No matter how you feel about it, you just do it. And that's what she's done. That's what she's done, because she found is that even though she kind of felt like she wanted to be alone, she really didn't want to be alone. It was lonely. And now people ask her to do things. And it's her initial reaction is to say no, but then she remembers, and she says yes. And she's always glad that she does. You know, Jesus taught large crowds, 2,000, 5,000, 10,000. He fed the 2,000, he fed the 5,000. But almost all of the stories in the Bible are about Jesus interacting with one person. Jesus interacting with one person. And that should really give us a strong message that each person is important. Each person is valuable. Again, that picture, you know, there's 99 other sheep over here someplace, but there's one who's in trouble, there's one who's lost, and that's where Jesus is. That's where Jesus is, coming to find that one who's lost, coming to find that one who needs help, looking for the lost sheep. And in Luke, I love when people want to hear the message, they just want to get closer and closer, looking for that lost sheep, and the story of the woman who's looking for the one lost coin, and the father waiting for the one prodigal son. Again and again, we have the story of God reaching out into the world, caring about individual people. You know, in this world today, people, I think you could make the argument that people are more connected with technology than ever before in history. And yet, loneliness. In fact, I've listened to a couple of podcasts that even describe loneliness as an epidemic. That with all of the ability to be connected, we don't feel connected. We don't feel close to others. And of course, you can see this. And if, you know, this is how old people pass their time. When we go out, we look around at the tables and see how many people at the tables are actually talking to each other. You know, and then we have to stop because my wife and I are both looking at our phones. And so there is a lot of loneliness. And this is the truth. This is the heart of it right here. If you are someone who is lonely, the truth is that God cares about you and that Jesus is close to you. But if you want your life to change, you are probably going to have to do something that you won't feel like doing. You are probably going to have to reach out. You're probably going to have to join a group or just be the person who introduces yourself to others. I went through this myself. I was raised by introverts, but finally, when it came right down to it, it hurt too badly not to talk to other people. It happened in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. I finally came to the realization that I had to start reaching out and talking to other people. Otherwise, I was just going to have to live with this loneliness, and I didn't want to do that. And so if you are the one who's lonely, you might have to do something you don't want to do. But believe me, it's going to change your life. And reach out to people who are in trouble. Reach out to people who are in need. Do something for somebody else. And it will make all the difference. I promise you, it will make all the difference. And if you are not the person who is lonely, then you need to remember this. As Christians, we are called to be different. It isn't good enough just to go with the flow. As Christians, we are called to stand out in the world as people who care. We are to be the people who notice the people sitting by themselves at lunch. And we are the people who go over and sit down with the people who are by themselves at lunch. We are the people who see the person who is by themselves, and we are the person who goes over and just says hello. You don't have to give them some great theological argument about anything. All you have to do is express an interest in them. There was a study done many years ago by the Search Institute. It talked about young people and what makes the difference. Why are there some young people that seem to make bad choices, go in bad directions, and others who don't? And what they found was that the young people who made better choices, you know what one of the big differences was? They each had, each day, at least four adults said hello to them. This is not complicated. Four adults simply said, hey, how you doing? That's it. That was enough to make a difference in their lives. Just somebody acknowledging that they exist, that they're important. That's what it takes. I've talked about fear and discouragement and now loneliness. And the reason I talk about those things is not because I enjoy being depressed. It's that those things take us away from what we're supposed to be doing. We lose our sense of direction when we're afraid and when we're discouraged and when we are lonely. Because, again, we are the front line in the battle of good and evil in the world. We are the front line. We are not perfect by a long shot, but we are the people who notice. We are the people who care. And that makes all the difference in the world. Amen.